This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. A while back, our history doctor, Bill Smith, made a passing reference to blaming the historical short-sightedness of current media on that popular internet resource, Wikipedia. Well, Bill Smith is back here. Bill, I use Wikipedia from time to time to learn things. Am I learning incorrectly?
Well, when I said that, I knew that we would have another episode coming in which I would have to explain the point. We've talked at length in this series that misuse and misunderstanding of history fuels a lot of our current infotainment, and that just because we never heard something before or can't recall its context in the current day doesn't mean that we have something historic happening.
Do you think about the old Chinese proverb about living in interesting times?
Exactly. Who wants to realize that your time on Earth was not epic, not historic, or otherwise memorable? Everyone wants to be remembered.
No, it's not even your time. It's like who some of us don't want to admit that Thursday wasn't epic, right?
Exactly.
What makes Wikipedia a curse?
I pick on Wikipedia because it's really a metaphor for the larger issue. We live in times in which we perceive that we have all the facts in the world at our fingertips. The answer is just a Google search away. Over time, you stop worrying about keeping that information in your head and you put faith in just looking up the answers.
So this is sort of like I only have four phone numbers memorized now? If I don't have my phone with me, I can't tell you anybody's phone number?
Exactly, because these days it's in your cell phone or it's online and you don't have to remember it.
Okay, back to history and the media. How does it all relate?
Well, one of my favorite authors is Neil Postman, a communications theory guy and critic, and he once wrote that history is the only meta subject, meaning that every single thing, countries, people, professions, has a history. And if you aren't aware of it, you're limited by the information you have at hand. This is how we get to so many of these unprecedented stories. Folks, look at your radios as I use my air quotes, and believing whoever is the current occupant of a position must be the greatest ever.
How does that relate to Wikipedia?
Every journalist knows you're only as good as your sources. The problem with an open source document like Wikipedia is while I firmly believe in the wisdom of crowds, sometimes they do need an editor. Here's an example of what I mean. In our recent Diplomatic Secrets episode, I used Wikipedia to double-check some information, and I would be being disingenuous if I didn't tell you. I use it a lot as well. What I was searching for was how Julius and Ethel Rosenberg's execution for providing information to the Soviet Union on atomic weapons work during the Manhattan Projects might have related to Mike Huckabee's call for the execution on treason charges of the person responsible for leaking those WikiLeaks documents. Wikipedia isn't going to list the Rosenbergs on its list of 16 people found guilty of treason. Why? Because they were found guilty of espionage. So let's double-check that list against the one I found of those guilty of espionage. That doesn't exist because no one's made a list of the people found guilty of espionage on Wikipedia. Now, we do find a list of United States government security breaches.
And that's where the Rosenbergs are listed.
Not so much.
Really?
In the timeline for the 1950s, we see David Greenglass, Ethel's brother, mentioned for his conviction, and that he involved them in his case. We see Klaus Fuchs, the British citizen involved with spying at Los Alamos. There's Alfred Sorrent and Joel Barr, who supposedly recruited Julius Rosenberg, who's not on the list of those who were arrested and or convicted of espionage in the 1950s? Julius and Ethel Rosenberg.
Well, this is like any really good research project. You have to know what you're looking for.
Exactly. Absent a solid historical background, it's easy to end up down the rabbit holes that mislead into areas or those that are incomplete. Another great example is the DeLome letter.
You mentioned that a couple weeks ago.
We talked about that in depth. On the one hand, you go to Wikipedia, you search the DeLome letter, and you get an image of the actual letter. That's very cool. That is first-rate new media. see it mm-hmm. without having to go to Washington, D.C., ask the National Archives to open up a cabinet. You put on the
white gloves
and hold the document. But you get very little actual historical detail of what did what to whom and how that played out in the entire ramping up of war fever that led to the Spanish-American War. Lots of links, but not a lot on the letter itself. For example, you don't get when the letter was written, who it was written to, but you do find out that it was published on February 9th, 1898 in the New York Journal. It's not in context of other events that led up to the declaration of war. Who had the document? Who leaked the document? Who intercepted the document? You also get some important errors in that entry, like the fact that the letter, according to Wikipedia, was to the Spanish minister in Cuba. Instead, it was to the ambassador of the United States. You get the implication that it was a personal letter. No, it was to the foreign minister of Spain, not to a friend of the ambassador in the United States. So a couple of real key errors that would lead you to maybe think, well, this DeLome letter may not be as significant, because if it was just someone in Cuba writing to a friend in Spain, no, this is the ambassador to the United States, an official of the Spanish government, writing to his boss and providing an assessment of the president.
So if you don't have all that information, you're not going to view it the same way historically.
You can find that information, which has more accurate representations, at another website, ourdocuments.gov. But you have hit the nail on the head now. If you don't come to these internet searches, to a place like a WikiLeaks, or for that matter, any source on the internet, without some understanding, some framework to begin with, you have to take everything that's there on face value, and therefore you don't maybe know what was left out and what may or may not be accurate.
So is this the reason I should keep World Book or Encyclopedia Britannica on my shelves?
Well, you know, there was quite a run of accuracy stories in the late 2005-2006 time frame. And here's where I'll stand up for Wikipedia. Because the nature of the medium allows for entries to be potentially more up-to-date, to include more points of view, and to be more inclusive into what qualifies as a scholar. The list of Encyclopedia Britannica contributors over time was quite limited because, frankly, it was quite limited.
Yeah, it had a physical limitation.
Exactly. So you don't have the broadest of coverage, only the broadest of individual topics. You might have American diplomatic history at the beginning of the 20th century. You're not going to have an individual entry called the DeLome Letter. So in 2005-2006, a slew of publications sought to compare the accuracy of Britannica against the accuracy of Wikipedia, and almost all of them found that Britannica was less accurate. But let's be honest, there's a little bias here. Many of those doing the surveying were themselves online news sources.
So where does that leave us? Is Wikipedia something that we should be able to use with relative, take it with a grain of salt, or?
Can you take it with the whole Morton salt shaker? A couple of thoughts here. The thought here is that editors are very important, and more, we just don't have them. Everyone can go direct to the public. You can tweet out your own news. You can create your own historical entries. The collective, yes, they can edit on Wikipedia, but that doesn't mean that someone with a background in 20th century U.S. diplomatic and military history should be correcting medieval European entries. I don't know that much about Spain in the late 1200s, but I can edit just as well there as I could perhaps correcting these things that I discovered on the DeLome letter entry. You know, I've advocated for some time that the future of journalism education is to incorporate more historical skills. How many different versions of the cliche, newspapers are the first rewrite of history, have you heard?
Many.
Yeah. So the value-added ability, the knowledge to vet current events against the historical record, and more important than that, knowing where to look for that best information, do I look at just Wikipedia, or do I look at some government sites that may have the documents and may give me other things, or do I one-stop shop it because I'm in a hurry? Then, once you've got that information, how do you interpret it? That only comes with a solid historical background, just like Postman said, going back to that idea that history is the only meta subject. Everything has a history. Again, this is not to say that there isn't great information on Wikipedia and other collective information sites like it. You just have to come there with some knowledge, and if you come there with no knowledge in an area, you might want to at least poke around some other places to make sure you're getting a better picture of things.
I think you've used a quote from Harry Truman before that kind of works with this.
Indeed, it is one of my favorite quotes of all time, and it speaks to the heart of the matter. The only new thing in the world is the history you don't know.
And until we discover some more new things,
we're history.